Galway Bay FM Sports News with Monaghan's Galway.
Hey, Mac Hansen here, Cooper Ambassador for Monaghan's Galway, the name you can trust in Galway for new and used cars.
Now, John Mulligan joins me. John, we're looking, I'm going to start morning to you. We're going to look at Gaelic games. Galway senior hurlers will play the Tipperary Offaly in the All-Ireland quarterfinals. It's upon us very quickly, isn't it, following yesterday's defeat?
Yeah, it is. It was always kind of the way forward. Once Galway knew that they were into the Leinster final, the route then regarding the All-Ireland Senior Championship became a little bit clearer. Now, given what happened yesterday, if they had won yesterday, they would have gone straight into the All-Ireland semi-final on the 9th of July. But because of that late goal from Killian Buckley that gave Kilkenny the one-point win, and, you know, look, you can't. It was an absolute sickener, I'll be honest. I don't think there was a Galway GAA fan who wasn't sickened by it. But in fairness, Galway were 8 points down. They had pulled it back to level. They'd actually gone They had gone 2 points up. Yeah. And then just to concede a goal like that. Henry Shevlin says it. It's sport. It happens. And, you know, what's important now is that they kind of lift themselves out of that and we really give it a good lash in the All-Ireland series, and I think they will. I don't think we've heard the last this hurling team at all by any stretch. I don't think anyone could be too critical either, given the way that they came back and the way that Kilkenny hit them with a couple of sucker punches as well. It was an amazing game of hurling. Yesterday, we saw two of the best hurling games of the year. Without a doubt, you had Limerick beating Clare by a point, very controversial. At the end, Clare will feel that they had a free. The referee felt that it wasn't one. Limerick won by a point, and then of course you had that cracker in Croke Park yesterday in front of just 24,000 people, which is very disappointing. It has to be said.
I have to say, John. I mean, I was on the road. I wasn't at the match, but I had to go to the outskirts of Dublin yesterday, on a lovely trip. But I couldn't believe the amount of people that were on the road, and I pulled into one of the service stations going to grab a cup of tea, and it was chock-a-block, and I would say the Plaza in Galway did Trojan Trade, as did the Apple Greens and all that, and then I wasn't leaving Dublin until about 7 o'clock last night, and they were coming out of Dublin in their droves, so I thought most of Galway was at the match.
Well, I would say the majority of the crowd that were there were Galway. Listen to the commentary from Niall and Cyril and Sean yesterday afternoon. That was the impression you would have got, that the roar, you know, when you heard it, came from Galway supporters.
They were definitely on the road, and I have no doubt
that there was a huge crowd there from Galway yesterday.
Yeah.
It shows how good Galway supporters are. You know, let's be honest. What I do feel though, and in fairness, nobody has been, now I don't know, I don't know if you've what the comments have been like today coming into you, but
one negative one,
you know, in fairness, and I looked
and the
at
same one kept singing kept sorry same person kept ting- sending in last week, ups cats up the cats up the
oh
cats.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Galway, what a joke, don't name them. Yeah. But Galway up the cats. Oh, King Henry is delighted. There you go. The only one negative. Anyway,
I don't know the text in question, so I'm not going to go down that road. No. But you're going to have that. But I mean, look, let's be honest about it. This Galway team looked, if it was any other team, I say it would have been game over by the 45th minute. But Galway kept plugging away and they kept fighting, and you know, they got back to level, and they went 2 points up. And you know what? Let's go through the route just while we have a second. So let's explain to people what's the story from here on in. Now you're going to have two preliminary quarterfinals next weekend. Carlow will play Dublin. Carlow won the Joe McDonagh in an epic final with Offaly, one of the best games of hurling you will ever see, never mind of the year. And then you've got Offaly and Tipperary, right? So the winner of Offaly and Tipperary will play Galway in the All-Ireland quarterfinal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that will be on the Saturday 24th of June, right? The other quarterfinal, which is either Clare or Carlow or Dublin, will play Clare, because Clare lost the Munster final.
Yeah.
So that's the quarterfinal situation. So it's going to be Galway against either Offaly or Tipperary, and Clare against either Carlow or Dublin. Then we move into the semi-finals, which are down for the 8th of July, Saturday the 8th of July. And you've got Limerick, who will take on the quarterfinal winner once. So if Galway win the quarterfinal, they play Limerick in the All-Ireland semi-final.
On the 8th of July.
And then you have got the other semi-final on the 9th of July, which is Kilkenny, and they are going to take on the winners of Clare, Carlow and Dublin.
Okay.
So for the sake of argument, we'll just say it's Limerick and Galway, and it is Kilkenny and Clare.
Mm.
And then the winners meet in the All-Ireland final itself. And
what,
that's on
what date?
The All-Ireland final is the 23rd of July, Sunday.
I can't get my head around this July All-Ireland final at all.
Yeah, I, you know what? Not many can, to be very honest with you, Keith. If you think that's confusing, wait till you see the football one, because with next weekend, with the last round of group games in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship, right? Only four teams are going to be knocked out. So you're going to have the preliminary quarterfinals after that. So the preliminary quarterfinals will be the teams that finish second and third in each group. Then you've got the quarterfinals. So the team that topped the group will play the winners of those games. And then you move into semifinals and finals. Just to mean, I'll give you the dates very, very quickly. If I can find them now. And in fact, they haven't given me the dates. What they do give me is the games for next weekend, which is obviously, you know, Galway and Armagh in Park Shaw McDermott, Carrick and Shannon next Sunday, 4 o'clock. And then after all of that, we'll have the preliminary quarterfinals. You'll have the All-Ireland quarterfinals, semifinals and final. And the dates that they don't decide to put in, which I'm a bit surprised about, actually. But the date itself, sorry, the All-Ireland final is on July the 30th. Yeah. Is that the bank holiday weekend?
It's just 7 days after the other one.
So the All-Ireland hurling final is on the 23rd, the All-Ireland football final is on the 30th. And then after all of that, we have a couple of weeks off, and then we move into the club championship, and it's a nice way of linking to what's happening tonight in McCarthy to Kilbeckenty, because the draws of the Brooks County Senior and Intermediate Hurling Championships is live here on Galway Bay FM from 8 to 9. So already we are looking at the club championships getting underway, which will be August roughly, and the football club championships won't be too far either behind. And we've had a couple of great club championships recently.
No rest.
None whatsoever. But you know what? It's a great buzz. This is, I said on the air a couple of weeks ago, championship starts now. So the phony war is over, and it's now time to, it's either, you know...
Well, it's nearly too much.
Do or get off the pot, to use the term. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Camogie, by the way. Just give me an update.
Yeah, just very briefly, on the other things that happened, the Galway Minor footballers beaten on Saturday by Derry. Derry, very impressive, has to be said. Galway Intermediate Camogie team were out last Saturday as well. They were beaten by Kilkenny. This coming weekend, we'll talk more on Friday, you've got the Galway Senior Camogie team and ladies footballers out on Saturday, as well as the fellas on the Sunday. And I want to mention as well, because I want to just tip my hat as well, the brilliantly organised, and I have to say this, that they come in the month's well. This year, the guys who were involved in it, and we've had people like Cyril Mannion and, you know, Damien O'Keefe and those who have been phenomenal servants over the past number of years. They've excelled themselves even more. I think Cyril's retired now, but they've a brilliant PR person in there at the minute. A beautiful programme, which will be probably get today, hopefully. But the Camogie coming to Munster finals are on tomorrow, Loch George, and the Hurling coming to Munster finals are on Thursday. And that will be the end of the national school football season. But it is the culmination for a lot of these young boys and girls here when it comes to sport. And I have a feeling you're going to get two massive crowds at those games tomorrow.
Good stuff. Let's go to golf on Port Tumlin. Sam Murphy.
Yeah, playing on his own course, won the Connacht Stroke Play Championship yesterday. He was never in trouble. Right throughout the four rounds over the 2 days, on the Saturday and the Sunday, finished up an 18 under par yesterday evening. 10 shots clear of David Kitt from Athenry, who finished in second place. As it was great to see two Galway golfers in the top three, and another one in the top 12, because another guy, James McLaughlin from Port Tumnel, he finished tight for 12th on 2 over par. But that's a stunning 68 final round. I think it was 68, 66, 68 and 68 is four rounds. That's just spectacular, really was. Nick Taylor, by the way, won the Canadian Open last night. He hit a eagle 3 on the fourth playoff hole, 72-foot putt to win the Canadian Open. You know, I believe some golfer got rugby tackled to the ground as well. I'm trying to find where it is, but it was something. I think it was Adam Hadwin got tackled to the ground by a security guard and all that was going on, and the mayhem that happened. If I find any more in it, I'll have it during the week or during the day in sport. But it was some performance, some putt, 72 foot. By the way, Rory McIlroy, who was actually in second going into yesterday, faded away quite badly, finished up tied for ninth. Shane Lowry finished up on 4 under par. So, yeah, maybe one to forget for the Irish golfers.
Absolutely. Listen, soccer Manchester City fans will get a chance to celebrate treble and their team when they show off their trophies on an open-top bus parade this evening.
Yes, and if you're a Manchester City fan, and I know quite a few, you know, in fairness... Look, I've never made any secret of what club I do support when it comes to the Premier League, and it's the other side of Manchester, the red half. But in fairness to City, they had a job to do on Saturday night, and they did it. Rodri's goal, winning it against Inter Milan. Good goal, actually. Two brilliant saves near the end from the goalkeeper. It was a phenomenal save. It's worth watching, actually, for the Manchester City keeper made a spectacular save, especially at the end. City have won the treble. They're only the second men's club. It was actually
a point made on BBC Radio 5 Live this morning at 5:30, believe it or not, that a second men's club in England to have done it. I think it's been done by an English club in the past in women's soccer. But two Manchester sides, United 99, City in 2013, to have won the treble, the FA Cup, the Premier League and the European Champions League.
It'll be a hell of a party, I would say.
I have a feeling it's going to be a massive party. They chartered a plane to come back from Istanbul yesterday. They arrived back in Manchester yesterday evening. The open top parade starts at 6:30, will finish at the library. It's the kind of like one of the big squares in Manchester, and they're expecting thousands to be there from all over the world, not just from Manchester itself.
What do you mean they chartered? They came back last.
They chartered a flight to bring them back from Istanbul to Manchester yesterday evening.
Why?
The team. Because they can afford it, I suppose. No reason apart from that. When Sheikh Mansour owns you, I think chartering a plane isn't a big problem. You know, he could probably give them.
Were they not due to come home until today?
Well, I think that actually, from what I gathered, they were not due to come home till this afternoon. But I think they brought forward their plans 24 hours. I think it was just to give themselves a chance. They only got back to their hotel apparently at 7:30 on Sunday morning, after the final on Saturday night. So whatever they had to do. I know I was watching when I got home last night on Saturday night, they were still doing the post-match interviews, and that was close to midnight. So God only knows what time it was over there. But anyway.
I hope they didn't go to Dylan Connolly's club that he went to when he was there in Istanbul.
No, I don't think so. And I don't think anyone would be brave enough to try. I don't think so.
Listen, let's go to tennis as well.
Yeah, Novak Djokovic, he has broken the record. It was a bit of a running battle actually here between Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal as for who would win the most Grand Slam titles, and Djokovic finally did it. He broke the duck, to use the term. His 23rd Grand Slam when he won the French Open yesterday against Norway's Casper Ruud. Now, Casper Ruud will probably look back and wonder why or how did this happen, because he was actually in a very strong position in two of them sets and still ended up losing them. He lost the first one in a tiebreak. It was actually 4-3 up or 5-4 up in the fifth set and still lost 7-5. So, you know, it's disappointing for Casper Ruud, but great for Novak Djokovic. And given the controversy he had over the Australian Open and not being allowed to play in it because of his vaccination status and all that during COVID, it's a big win for him. He's the first male player to win all four Grand Slams at least three times, and he's halfway towards the calendar slam of all four major trophies in a year. So now he has to go and do it in Wimbledon, which he's a decent shot of doing, and the US Open, which he actually has done very well in. So good. Could the calendar slam happen? It's very possible.
All right, finally in horse racing.
Yeah, the Connacht National actually is a feature in Roscommon, so it's a big day for racing down Lenaban, and their first race is off at 25-5. The big race is at 5:30. And we're going for a horse in this. It's an each way bet by the name of Foxy Jacks. I had a little look earlier on, currently 16-1. Other prices are available, but that's the tip for today.
John, thanks indeed for joining us. John Mulligan joining us at Sport, and you can go to our website for much more, and John has it all there for you. John, thank you for joining us today. Quick commercial break, we're back just after these. Comment lines are open if you want to get through to us. We look at finance next.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco. Click and collect allows you to collect your order whenever suits you.
No, Dave McCarthy, McCarthy and Associates, it's opposite me today. Dave, morning to you. Thanks for joining us today. Just a quick one for you, really and truly. I've come across, indeed, friends of ours that are parents, and the children have asked them to transfer the house to them so that when they need to go to nursing home, that they won't get hit with the fair deal. So there's a three-year moratorium that's on it, that it has to be transferred, land or home or land or otherwise. Have you come across that?
Well, what I would say about it is, if you're trying to engineer an application for a fair deal, and there is a certain amount of that going on out there,
they may never need it.
Well, they may never need it, but the point I'm making here is that once the parent loses control of the house, they lost control of the house, irrespective of whether they use the fair deal or not. And there could be all sorts of consequences there. You know, you transfer it to maybe your son and his wife, and let's suppose they have problems, and that property becomes part of their separation or
their asset
dispute.
Portfolio, yeah.
So there's a load of issues around that. But what I would also say is that brings us into the whole issue of fair deal applications, Keith. And as you know, there is a percentage of them out there which are falsifying the applications for Fair Deal, not being truthful about the assets. Exactly, about the assets.
But do they realise that when the person dies, and I've done a lot of Fair Deals, I have in my time, and the Fair Deal people get confirmation from solicitors and all of that type of stuff about land and assets and bank accounts and all that, and they'll be hit with penalties.
Well, the thing about it is that when that person dies, their estate comes into play for obviously settling the Fair Deal issues and liabilities. But let's go back a second, right? Fair Deal was brought in for a very, very good reason. And it has been very effective. It got rid of the days of city and county homes and old people's homes. And it works very, very well. To think that there are people out there blatantly defrauding that system, a system that has been designed and works so effectively to look after and care for somebody who's in their elder years, and that you have seems to be generally family trying to engineer the applications for their own benefit, as they might think, when that person has passed on, and defraud the state, basically. So,
sorry, they're defrauding you and I.
Well, they're defrauding you and I and everybody listening this morning. And I mean, to be honest with you, there's no halfway measures in this. I mean, my comments might be hard-hitting, and they are meant to be like that, because I have absolutely no time or patience for anybody in such a situation who does that. And if there's anybody listening this morning and you've done that in relation to one of your parents and an application for Fair Deal, well, watch out. It'll come home to roost when that your parent passes away and you're dealing with the estate.
I've done it for many friends, and Fair Deal has this myth about it that it's difficult to do. And the most and finest people are involved. They're based in Ballyban, the neighbourhood centre up there, and they'll help anyone do Fair Deal. But I've done it for many friends, but you have to work with the information you have, and don't hide anything.
Look,
you won't get away with it.
No, look, we have a situation in this country, and you can say whether it's right or wrong. First of all, there are some people who are in the social welfare system who've abused that and get all sorts of benefits. And we hear people criticise that, and rightly so. But on the other side, the same people who might be doing that could be in a situation where they are equally at fault and equally blameful in terms of what they're doing, which is, again, go back to engineering a Fair Deal application for one of their parents. So all I will just say is it's a disgusting thing to do, and I hope that people pay the price if they get caught out where this is concerned.
Can you go back though to the question I asked you then about transferring, like in the full of their health, these people are, and they have a good bit of life ahead of them, but they've decided to transfer it to their children. What do you say to that? You say you lose control then. Is that what
you lose control. Once you transfer your home to your children, that's it. They own it.
They won't sell it out from underneath them.
Well, look, I don't know. Sorry, no, but you know families, and especially in Ireland, you never know what might happen. I mean, let's just think of one thing. There's kind of a little bit of an urban myth that everybody ends up in a nursing home. That is not the case. A lot of people never end up in a nursing home, probably the vast majority.
Please God.
They live at home and they live a normal life, and they pass away and they're independent, or they might have somebody to look after them when they need some care. But, you know, not everybody ends up in a nursing home. So transferring your house to your children, you lose control of it. And if there's problems in any shape or form down the road, well, look out, you have an issue. Unless you want to just put in another addendum to, I suppose, the whole transfer issue, which is that you consult with your solicitor and you have a residence for life in that house, which you can create. That is a legal document that you can set up with your children. If you want to continue to transfer it to them, I do not believe it's the wise thing to do.
Oh yeah, but I mean, the situation is that this would all be subject to legal advice, I take it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, your first port of call is the solicitor.
You just can't transfer it yourself. You have to go, yeah.
No.
And somebody just emailed in here, forgive me for one second, said, Keith, why not transfer it and retain rights of residency or limited ownership? That's what you were saying.
Well, that's what I just said, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they said.
But again, you know, think about all the issues and why you're transferring in the first place.
And another caller said, what good advice, this caller said. And another caller said, on the topic of housing, has Dave ever come across a family member asking for a second mortgage to be put on parents' homes so they can afford their own home?
Oh my God. Sorry. Well, first and foremost, generally most institutions will not accept a second mortgage, which is a good thing. A a second,
are you saying they would look out for the parents?
They won't accept a second charge, which is what that is. Okay. So when you get a mortgage, obviously whoever lends you the money takes a charge on the property, that's normal. What that listener is talking about is a second mortgage on a property that already has an existing mortgage, which means a second charge on the title deeds. Virtually no institution will accept that. So I suppose...
Even if there's equity in the home?
Even if there's equity in the home, they very well... Because it means that they rank behind the other institution, and as a rule, most banks will not do that. But as regards the whole principle of doing it, it's... I really can't find words to describe that.
It's kind of like elder abuse, to be quite honest.
Well, that's... We have another issue in relation to that in a second. If you want to go on, we'll take a look at it.
Go down to it, yeah.
Well, basically... We have a situation where there's been kind of, I suppose, some warnings about financial abuse and the consequences of it. And what I found interesting about the statement that I read, I can't remember what source it came from, but we would kind of, I suppose, automatically assume financial abuse in our heads to do with elderly people who lose control of their finances or are not aware. Mm. But they're bringing up the issue, which I found very interesting, and I'm sure, unfortunately, there are people probably listening to me this morning who are in this situation, where you've got financial abuse between partners, maybe between husband and wife, where one partner takes control of the finances and insists and probably is very forthright in making sure that they control all the finances. And as a result, they may control the other person. You know, controlling people...
So is that a form of course of control then?
It is, of course, yeah. You know, unfortunately, and I know people myself, and probably everybody does know that in relationships, sometimes you can have one partner who exercises extreme control over the other person. Like in everything they do. And one area where they do exercise the control, and it could be a kind of a creeping one, is to take control of the financial position, where that partner, husband or wife, whoever they are, is completely dependent on them in every respect. And now they're completely dependent on them financially because the other person has control of their finances. So that was one of the big issues that they brought up in that particular release that I read. So financial abuse, again, is not just the exclusive, prerogative of parents and children, but it can be between partners. And I find that's a very disturbing thing to consider, that is happening. And maybe happening to an extent that we might be shocked about across the community.
So are you saying then that if somebody is in a relationship that one partner takes control of the finances, and then you go with the begging bowl if you want to get five or a tenner?
Might take control of the bank accounts, take control of their cards, or if they don't take control of them to the extent that they hold on to them, may take control of them in another way, which is basically they monitor every transaction that person is doing and ask them for an explanation or tell them what they can spend.
Sure, that's ridiculous.
It is, but you'd be surprised, Keith. You'd be very surprised. And I hope if there's anybody listening this morning who finds themselves in that situation, that they go and get advice and help, because it must be very distressing.
Another one in: my husband is 40 and has a death and service benefit through his employment of four times his salary, which is 60,000 euro. And the only other life cover we have is mortgage protection. Do you think this is sufficient?
No. And the reason I'm saying that is because if your husband leaves that employment, that death and service benefit ceases. So then...
If he doesn't,
and he stays on, it continues. But if he does leave, and I mean, people are mobile, this person's only 40 years of age, he may go into another employment that has death and service benefit, and he may not. So what I would be saying is you do need life cover independent of your employment. And the other aspect of this is that if he does leave and the death and service benefit ceases, then automatically you have a situation where you have to apply for a life cover out there, and you may have health issues, and you may be an awful lot older, and maybe a lot more expensive, and four times your salary at 60,000, 240,000, your mortgage paid, and your spouse gets 240,000, that's not very much at all. And it would be quite cheap for a 40-year-old male who has no health problems, doesn't smoke, to get life cover. So, you know, you could get another 400 or 500,000 very reasonably, and then your life cover is independent of your employment.
Okay, now earlier on this morning we were talking about a scam that was involved. A lady from Clifton was on with us and it was with Revolut. But she was saying and very concerned about cryptocurrency operators, Coinbase and others that are called from there. Have you come across these cryptocurrencies? I know I asked you before.
Yeah, well, the SEC, which is the Securities Exchange Commission in New York, have clamped down on two of the largest operators in the crypto space, Coinbase and a company called Binance. And basically, they do not like the whole issue in relation to the crypto industry because it's not particularly well regulated. In fact, it's not regulated at all. And they're intent to make putting manners, I suppose, on the way the industry operates.
Can they just fold?
Well, you know, remember one thing, the SEC in the States has got wide-ranging powers. You do not want to get on the wrong side of them. They can shut you down, they can do all sorts of things. And yes, we've had a number of cryptocurrencies firms who have folded, and some high-profile ones in the last year. So again, I suppose, you know my feelings about involvement in anything to do with the crypto space. People should completely and utterly stay away from it. So beware, once again, you know, how many times do you need to be told that it's a very dangerous area to get involved in, and it's a very dangerous area in terms of what you perceive might be the security of the money you have invested within it. It's not like having your money invested in the stock market or in a regulated investment of any sort.
There's so many scams out there today. Now, the lady in question authorised it because a man from Revolut allegedly called her. He wasn't from Revolut at all. He was the scammer that initially started it. And she approved two payments of 5,000 each, so she's 10,000 down.
Well, always beware of something that you don't initiate. I said that last week in relation, we were talking about different subjects about what is sales and what's advice. It all comes back to really one particular issue. Did you initiate this contact for a reason that is something that you want to address or you want to get advice on? If you didn't initiate it, have nothing to do with it.
Walk away from it. Dave McCarthy from McCarthy & Associates in Woodkey, 0915660022. Thank you indeed for joining us today on the programme. We're back just after the, 20 minutes to 12 on this Monday morning. Good morning to you.
Galway Tolls, in association with Tesco. Find our award-winning Irish ranges in store and online at tesco.ie.
Just Dave McCarthy was leaving us there. He won't be with us next week, but he did say if anybody finds themselves in a situation where they feel that they're being coerced with property and or otherwise, to seek legal advice. His key message is to seek legal advice. Don't forget, by the way, too, we're giving you a chance to win in association with the Orgelon Hotel. And we asked you to send in the word bride in the first hour of the programme today. You could be given the chance to win a wonderful prize. Each and every day this week, you could qualify. But they're holding their wedding showcase this coming Saturday the 17th from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. Further details from Zara on 091-519-703. We'll do that competition all over again tomorrow. And we'll tell you who the qualifier is for today very, very shortly. Now, Community Healthcare West and a host of local organisations have scheduled many events and activities to celebrate International Men's Health Week 2023. The week begins on today, indeed, June the 12th, and runs until Father's Day, which is next Sunday the 18th. I'm joined in studio by Paul Gillen from the HSC. Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Thanks for joining us there. And Tom Whelan joins me on the line from Galway Men's Shed. Tom, morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Thanks for joining us.
Everybody.
Thanks for joining us today. Paul, the key message on this is really to get people focused, isn't it?
It is indeed, Keith. There are kind of three key objectives, really. One of them, I suppose, is to raise awareness around kind of the general men's health issues. Things like, you know, prostate cancer, you know, mental health issues, even men taking risks and things like coronary heart disease. And I suppose then to support men really to access the services and to check any health concerns out early, because early treatment will obviously lead to kind of a better prognosis and a better outcome. And sometimes people are fearful of hospitals and going into hospital or whatever, but if they only realise that the survival rates are phenomenal for a lot of the treatment and medicine has moved on, that you know, once you get in early and get something seen to, it's really treated, you know, the outcomes are fantastic. And then probably the third outcome then would be probably, or the third objective would be then to, you know, encourage men and boys kind of to engage in kind of healthier lifestyles, you know, because lifestyles, as we know, has a huge impact on, I know it's a bit negative, but on, you know, our health and disease and morbidity and all that kind of stuff. But I know I said to you before, Keith, a simple lifestyle change, such as doing a little bit of physical activity, positively impacts on 35, you know, of the chronic diseases, in the sense that it reduces your risk. So that's only 30 minutes of physical activity, 5 days a week, reduces your risk of all the major chronic diseases. So we're kind of supporting men and asking men to like to look at their lifestyles and see if they can change kind of simple things. And it doesn't have to be activity, obviously, to look at, or, you know, even to talk about something, if there's a concern there or whatever, to recognize signs and symptoms, maybe to pick up the phone, talk to your GP. If there's a mental health issue there, there's now a free text service. You can text 50808 and you'll get an immediate response. Just if there's something bothering you or you find it hard to cope. And sometimes that, even doing that, it helps to break the silence. And it's, you know, that relieves the burden. Mm. You regain control. It gives you, you know, your coping mechanisms improve. And that allows you to, you know, remove all that worry, you know, which is so, so important. And men generally, I suppose, that you see, men have been brought up to remain or to
macho, be
kind of strong and stoic, mm, and to be self-contained. And, you know, so they're less likely to report concerns and less likely to come forward and say, listen, something's bothering me, or I found a lump, or, you know, God, my heart has given me a little bit of trouble, or I'm not, my respiratory issues, I'm not breathing properly. The problem is that you know, there are countless men like them. Just pick up the phone and make that effort, and the outcomes are so positive.
Look, if only one person did it following today's conversation, it would be wonderful as well. Tom, I want to come back to you there, because Galway Men's Shed, you get people talking, don't you?
We do indeed, yeah. Men's Shed is a community-based organisation, and it's open to all men, regardless of their age and background. And men come to the shed, they have opportunities to talk, to take part in activities. Men's Shed are wonderful in the combat isolation and loneliness and their social inclusion. And research shows they've been physically, mentally, and socially active, leads to a better and healthier life and leads to longevity.
Can they get details as to where the list of Men's Sheds are so that they would know the closest to them?
No, we've asked all sheds in County Galway to open tomorrow morning from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock, and some sheds are open till 1 o'clock. And we have 18 sheds in Galway that are committed to the open morning tomorrow morning. And in the East Galway, we have Athenry, Ballinasloe, Ballygar, Hetford, Loughrea, Monabay, Mount Bellew, Tuam, and Tina. And then in around Galway City, we have Sandy Road, which is Cronabar there. We have City West Men's Shed in Shantala, Raskheim and Dwishka, Salt Hill, and then further out we have Clarnbridge, we have Mike Cullen, Uchterard, and our own shed here in Cornamona, Shed Navarre, Duhioia, and Oranmore. Oranmore was left out on the media list that went out there last week, but Oranmore need a special mention because they're open tomorrow morning, and they're also having their open day. They've built a brand new purpose-built premises building, and they're having that open officially on Friday morning at 11:30.
Okay, so I mean, Oranmore tomorrow. So between 10 and 12 and maybe until 1 o'clock, all of those sheds will be open tomorrow. So anybody can pop into them and just have a cup on tea or a chat from there. Stay with
call in and have a cup of tea and a chat and look at the activities that go on. They can see what goes on themselves. Like, because I mentioned this great opportunity for somebody that moves into an area as well. They want to join in the local community. There's great opportunities come there and meet the members, and there's great camaraderie and friendship in the shed. We talk all sorts of things. The cup on tea is always the important thing. We have great discussions and great talks around the table for the cup of tea.
It is a great break, or so it is, the cup of tea. Stay with me if you don't mind. Paul, I mean, the Men's Shed have really, Galway Men's Shed, right across each and every one of them, they have broken down an awful lot of stigma, and they give a forum to talk openly.
You're absolutely right, Keith. You know, the Men's Shed started kind of nationally back around 2008, 2009, when the Lehman Brothers thing collapsed, or, you know, the whole thing collapsed, and, you know, men with so many skills and, you know, kind of found themselves out of jobs or whatever. And then this community wave started in Australia, just came all over Ireland or whatever. I think there's 400 sheds now right across the country, and 10,000 men attend these every single week. 10,000 men. As Tom says, what's really important, men get an opportunity to connect.
But they're with like-minded people. Oh, so they're
exactly, with like-minded people. And there's another new kind of program developing nationally called social prescribing, where people are now rooting people into various organisations and activities locally so that they can connect with like-minded people, because they're finding that this really enhances their whole social and mental well-being or whatever. And as Tom rightly says as well, men will come into the shed, they work together and they chat away together, whatever. They talk, you know, because they're working shoulder to shoulder. It's very hard. Men are not great at talking face-to-face or whatever. You know, a great place to talk to a man is in the car where he can't get out, and you're and you can engage or whatever, but you don't have that kind of, you're not talking face to face. But the shoulder to shoulder piece, and over time, people share more and more incrementally because they're getting close, you know, the relationships are building, you know, they're fostering a kind of a sense of togetherness and a sense of community, and that's huge. And then men go home, and the impact on that, on, you know, would say on kids and on family, they call it kind of the whole kind of relational piece.
If they let it in, it's therapeutic. But then if you say to somebody, therapy in Ireland, whereas in I said it a million times, in America, everybody is a flipping therapist.
Exactly.
But it's therapeutic for them.
Exactly. And that stigma, I suppose, you're right, there was a sense of stigma kind of associated with that. But this is kind of maybe look at this as treating yourself, you know, having the courage to go and to join a shed, to meet the lads, to engage in activities. And often what's fabulous too, you have the intergenerational piece. You have younger men, you have older men. So the younger men bring the energy and all that sort of stuff. And then the older men have all the intelligence and I'm not saying this, but just generally they have the know-how, they have the experience, and there's great sharing. Mm-hmm. And that's fantastic. And you can see that right across kind of the sheds right across the country. And as Tom says, all those sheds are opening tomorrow morning or whatever. So we're just saying to men, go along, see what's there like that or whatever, you know, just kind of have an open mind. Even if you can't drive a nail or even if you can't kind of use a plane or whatever it is, you can sit down and have a cup of tea with the lads and talk and chat, or you can paint, or you can, you know, do something. Because these sheds engage in so many activities. It's not all physical work. Some of them are engaged in, developing cookery books. Some are engaged in, choral stuff. Some are engaged in art. A lot of them are engaged in kind of woodwork and that kind of stuff. But it varies, and people will find something of interest to them.
Tom, just coming back to you then briefly again, you've given us the locations in the city and the county. So 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, with an open heart and a packet of biscuits, they're all welcome to come along.
They are indeed. And this is a joint venture by the HSE and the Irish Men's Health Association. Everybody will be welcome. As I said, it's a great opportunity for people that moved into an area as well, men moved into an area, to make contact and get involved in the local community.
All right.
And as I said, I often say myself, a men's shed can be the DIY section of a community base as well, and all the little jobs that we get to do for different organisations in the community. And nobody has to do, there's no compulsion on anybody to take and get involved to do activities, but most men like to do something, like, as I say, the woodwork or wood turning or art. Or we do a lot of health and safety and health and wellbeing classes as well. Sheds for Life was set up by the Irish Men's Association, and they run a 10-week course, which we had last year, which was wonderful, and we're hoping to organise our own later this year.
Okay. Tom, I have to leave it at that. Tom Whelan for Galway Men's Shed. Paul, just coming back to you, I mean, you've given me, westbewell.ie is a website address. The famous John Haw is at the end of the phone as well, 0917757444. And you've got Lawrence Gahan on the other line, that's an 094 number, 904-2509. They're Community Healthcare West as well. They're there to take questions.
They are indeed. For the first time, I suppose, in a long time, what Lawrence and John and various committees have done, they've organised a lot of events right across Galway County, which are happening, as I say, right through the week. And West Be Well kind of details, Keith, what kind of when they're happening. So like that, we would love to thank our partners in the Local Sports Partnership, in Galway Rural Development. The libraries are involved, Galway City Council, the Family Resource Centres. I know you mentioned John Middleton is having a big evening this evening, kind of health checks out in Headford this evening from 4 to 8. The Ord FRC up in Dowishka are doing something. You have Cree who are doing health checks in Loch Gray and March, I think on Saturday. You have the sheds like that. So there's all these local organisations coming together just to provide an opportunity for men to avail and see what's out there possibly for them.
Go back to you and I met 25 more years ago. There was nothing. Now they have everything. But it's a matter of getting them into it.
Correct. And the whole thing is changing, is right, Keith, you're right. Kind of men were kind of reluctant and kind of reticent to get involved in various activities and to move out, we'd say, like that, kind of in the past. But now there are so many things available and men are willing and engaging much more so now than kind of in the past or whatever, which is wonderful. And it's healthier for them, for their families, because the spin-offs are fantastic.
It's critical for them, Paul. Further details can be had in Galway City and County, indeed, 0917 775 744. The famous John Hall will be delighted with us giving out his number this morning, but you can deal with that now, so you can, Paul Gillen. And Lawrence as well, for the details, can get involved there as well. The winner of, the qualifier for today's, by the way, is, the qualifier for today is Nora Fahey, Ballinavohor, Turlochmore. You could be going to the bridal suite in the Ortolan. Nora, stay tuned. You can enter again tomorrow as many times as you want, and we'll be announcing the winner on Friday morning live from Newcastle. That is it for today. We're back at your live from Studio One tomorrow morning. If you want to get in contact with us, feel free to do so. You can call us on 091-770-077. John Morley produced. Ruth took all of your comments, but until tomorrow morning, just after the 9 o'clock news, have a good and a safe Monday. We shall talk to you then. You can continue to email us, comments@galwaybfm.ie, and don't forget our WhatsApp and text numbers 086 38 33 553. From yours truly, Keith Finnegan, until tomorrow, have a good and a safe Monday. Talk to you then.